Welcome to Trendspotters, a thought leadership series for the financial services industry. Trendspotters focuses on the issues and trends that are shaping the future of the capital markets. And now, here's your host, CEO of Propel Growth, Candace Edelin.
Hello and welcome to this installment of Trendspotters. I'm Candace Edelin, and today we have the first of a two-part conversation on cross-asset trading. There's quite a bit of industry chatter about the differences between cross-asset trading and multi-asset trading, and I personally have been interested in the subject for quite a while. So I sat down with Harry Goslin of Smart Trade and Greg Wood of Credit Suisse to talk about it. We had a very informative discussion, and I'm excited to share the conversation with you, so let's get started. My guests are Harry Goslin of Smart Trade and Greg Wood of Credit Suisse. Harry is the CEO and founder of Smart Trade, which provides cross-asset liquidity management solutions that handle aggregation, pricing, routing, and matching for all OTC and listed asset classes. Prior to Smart Trade, Harry managed OTC derivatives and FX trading at a number of banks. Harry, welcome.
Thank you. Hi, Candice. Hi, Greg.
Greg Wood works for Credit Suisse's Advanced Execution Services on their multi-asset class algorithmic trading desk, specializing in algorithmic and low-latency execution futures. He has a background in multi-asset class execution initiatives and has experience both in business development and on the technology side. Greg, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure to be here today, Candice.
So, I'm Candace Edelin, CEO of Propel Growth, and I will be your host for today's session. So, let's get started. Let's get started by just talking about what's the difference between multi-asset trading and cross-asset trading. Harry, you want to start?
Yes, I think it has been always a tricky definition, people talking of cross-asset versus multi-asset. I think there is a converging definition, which is that cross-asset is more something that would be coming from the buy side, trying to mix different assets in one multi-leg trade, so like it could be interlisted securities or buying one asset, selling another one. Multi-asset, I would say, is more something I would qualify from the sell side, so trying to offer multiple assets under the same kind of framework or technology to enable their clients to trade multiple assets without having to change too many systems at the same time. But personally, I don't know if there is a clear frontier between multi-asset and cross-asset, but that could be one definition.
Greg, what do you think? Tell us more about your thoughts on this.
So at Credit Suisse, we take a little bit more of a technical differentiation between multi-asset trading and cross-asset trading. Multi-asset is the ability to trade individual asset classes through the same systems, but each asset class is being traded on its own independently. Cross-asset is the ability to trade multiple asset classes simultaneously through those systems, but there is a correlation between the trading.
So the difference really is how you trade, where if you're going to do multi-asset trading, the trades are pretty much kind of distinct. You're going to trade equities distinctly from FX, distinctly from options, where cross-asset, you may join multiple assets in a single basket to make the trade because there's associations in your strategy between the two. Is that
That's probably the case, yeah. I think cross-asset is a may involve multiple legs, so you may have to do either a synthetic, create a synthetic instrument that will be, in fact, a combination of different assets that will be presented as one synthetic instrument. So when you hit it, it will involve multiple assets and may generate multiple legs behind. There is also the pure cross asset, which is more a multi-leg trade. So I want to buy one security, sell other securities in the same time. So I think that's maybe the difference between multi-asset and cross asset. At the end, the implications on the side of the person, on the entity which receives the order, or the whether it's a synthetic, a multi-asset, or cross-asset, is not very different because the big step is to be able to process different orders on different assets, whether they come from the same synthetic or multi-leg instruction or from multiple legs independently, still implies that the bank or the entity or the broker is able to process these multiple assets exactly seamlessly. So I think in some ways the definition of, or I would say fine-tuning cross-asset versus multi-asset is a bit theoretical, but it's a nice question to ask.
So what's the driver? Why would you do something with a multi-leg? What's a typical reason why a buy side would want to execute something like that?
I think probably Greg can answer because he has more clients that are probably at the start of this demand and who have started to ask Credit Suisse, okay, give me this multi-leg or multi-asset capabilities, and then maybe I will comment back.
I think there's, just your previous point, Harry, that there's an evolution in trading, and the step from multi-asset to cross-asset is part of that evolution. One of the important steps to be able to move towards cross-asset trading is being able to offer the ability to trade all these individual asset classes. And particularly in our world at the moment, where having this, the ability to do this electronically is very important, because as these asset classes become more electronic, it gives the buy side greater ability to trade these things at their own discretion, as opposed to the discretion of the broker or dealer. So what I would say is there are several drivers around this. The buy side is consolidating, as is the whole of the street, as we're trying to do more with less. People are taking natural steps of looking for alternative alpha. You know, they may be trading domestic equities first, then they're looking into cross-border trading. They're using derivatives as a hedge, or even using derivatives as speculation as an alternative source of alpha. This introduces a multi-asset capacity to their trading, where they want to be able to trade each of these asset classes in a similar manner, and then ultimately manage, risk manage, position manage those asset classes. As the sell side, such as Credit Suisse, provides services to trade individual asset classes, it then gives us the ability to offer a greater level of connection between those asset classes. So if people now want to start trading a auto hedge on their FX, or if they want to be delta hedged on their options, it gives us the ability to provide that as a service because we have all these asset classes within the same systems.
So I would say in some ways, my opinion also, like Greg, is that the first demand comes from the clients of the buy side. Probably the hedge funds were the first to really ask a single access point to multiple assets to do cross-asset trades, either auto-hedged securities or inter-listed securities or whatever, cash against futures, basis trades. There are many combinations that are standard combinations of multiple assets. And the first, I would say, reaction from the banks has been to say, okay, we have a very heterogeneous systems in our on our side, so we know we have siloed FX, equities, rates, but we can probably assemble or present a single entry point to all these assets to present a kind of cross-asset service to our clients. The real gain after that is to realize that having to process multiple assets totally in a different manner based on the region or which bank actually originally was running this asset class that merged with this other bank, etc., created a cascade of system that can still be always presented under the same umbrella as a multi-asset system to a hedge fund, but which also put the pressure on the point on the sell side to say, why do we have all this kind of really multi-system, multi-asset everywhere in the bank, and why don't we organize our trading infrastructure as a real multi-asset trading infrastructure? And that's probably pushed from this first demand of, let's say, a hedge fund somewhere in Connecticut. This has pushed all the questions to, okay, why don't we organize our entire chain, supply chain of services and prices inside towards us, our client, as a real multi-asset infrastructure. And that's, I think, how the wave moved. And now we see more a need to have a convergence of services, because it's easier to offer multi-asset or cross-asset services if they all come from the same kind of box or same kind of pattern, always replicating the same type of, I would say, orders, the same kind of straight-through processing, the same kind of delivery access or mechanism, rather than have 20 different systems that are all not talking the same language, et cetera, et cetera. So that's how the wave came. And at the end, it's a cost-cutting issue, probably more than servicing hedge funds or people like that. So
I think what has happened in the last few years is critical mass on the buy side, where the buy side is demanding to have the ability to trade different asset classes in the same manner. So, you know, they don't want to have to do a FX deal or an OTC derivative over the phone. if they're used to using fixed connectivity to trade their equities or listed products. You know, they want to trade the same way. Mm. In the same way, they say, well, why do I have to trade FX like this? I would rather trade it in a similar manner to what I'm used to trading with my own algorithms or my own approach to trading the way I do for equities. So over the last, I'd say, 5 years, that consolidation, that change in the buy side now saying we want each of these asset classes to work the same, has now driven the sell side to obviously provide a similar service across their asset classes. I think what has also happened recently with the current market conditions, as we look to reduce our overall expenditure, it's actually now making more sense as we bring these asset classes together to start using the same systems across those asset classes. So that also allows us to leverage the same technology for whether it's equities, futures, FX. You know, it allows us to provide a homogeneous service as opposed to the heterogeneous siloed service that was previously provided by the brokers. And I think this is obviously just a benefit now of both the buy side, they get what they want, and to the sell side, we obviously reduce our footprint and infrastructure to be able to provide a service across these asset classes.
Mm. Yeah.
So we're talking about two business drivers there. One, the buy side demand for being able to trade multiple assets the same way and to achieve cross asset, and then the business driver of consolidation and cutting costs internally by reducing the number of silos and harmonizing and homogenizing the way that the assets are traded. There's also a business driver, I think, on risk management, right? With the global economic crisis having driven a demand by the regulators as well as by the banks themselves, I think, to be able to manage risk and get a better visibility into exposure. Is that also a driver?
Yes, probably. In fact, this the need to consolidate and to harmonize the risk management has also simplified the products that are traded. There are more, there are more assets, but more simple products in some ways. If we compare the pre-Lehman case, where we had, in fact, implicitly less multi-asset trading, but many more synthetic multi-asset instruments that were flying all over the planet, I think today regulations has in some way killed the complexity of these very obscure products that nobody could account for, but also opened the need to have many more multi-asset transversal system and methodology to measure risk, to measure credit exposure, to measure even after that more functional aspect like latency, etc., etc. So I would say we have more assets that are traded the same way, on a bigger demand for multi-asset, but with more simple products. Today, we see more, if we take foreign exchange, 5 years ago, everybody was running, or 7 years ago, after FX options trading, so it was the hot topic. Today, if you go to any bank, you say, what do you do in EFX? It's only spot. It doesn't mean options don't exist anymore, but the key point is, how do I deal with my spot liquidity? How do I do with my interest rate swaps? How do I do with my futures, equity, cash? So those are the basic instruments that have been there for 50 years almost. And suddenly, all the complex ones have disappeared, even though there are still some problems to address. So the regulators, in some ways, have mostly focused on the simple instruments. So the question is how to regulate spot. It's not how to regulate the vega exposures of some banks. It's not how to deal with still structured products that exist that are in ETFs, for example, that are unable, not easily controllable. I think we may see that the recent UBS case is in some ways a consequence of this lack of control. So we are only talking of creating safes on the IRS. Okay, fine. But so regulation is pushing to simplifications, multi-assets that are more under control. So it's I think it's an interesting, for me, question to see why suddenly, I mean, everybody's moving. There are some, I think, most important reasons are cost, benefits, and expenditures, because it's easier to manage five simple instruments with very huge volumes in a very standard and controlled manner rather than offer complex instruments which require a lot of back office, middle office, front office guys, with the risk of losing some money like every year. So
I think the point you make there is as these instruments become simpler, it actually makes them easier to define. And once you can define something, it's easier to measure it.
Mm.
So if you take away some of the complexity of a OTC trade, where it's a very bilateral definition of the instrument, and you move towards more of a, here's a defined derivative that can be recorded and therefore measured, reported, etc., which is obviously what a lot of Dodd-Frank is trying to do with regards to the OTC space. That helps with risk management. So by reducing the complexity, it makes it easier to measure the risk. Now, of course, there's always still going to be the need for certain participants to have more defined, user-defined contracts. So that won't go away. But I think in terms of a lot more of this trading in asset classes away from the traditional listed space of equities, futures, options, as we go into FX, bonds, interest rate swaps, etc., by making these instruments much more closely defined, carefully defined, it's going to allow us also to record it in our systems, to report it to the regulators, and risk manage it for the sake of our internal books.
We're going to have to leave off here for part one of this recording. I hope you've enjoyed this first part of the conversation. Please join us for part two, where we dive even more deeply into this fascinating topic. Until then, I'm Candace Edelin, CEO of Propel Growth. I look forward to joining you again next time on Trendspotters. Have a great day.
We invite you to join our discussion of this topic at the Trendspotters Thought Leadership Forum. Join the conversation at www.trendspotters.propelgrowth.com. Trendspotters is produced by Propel Growth, helping companies create competitive advantage in the capital markets. To contact Candace, email her at trendspotters@propelgrowth.com. To hear more of the Trendspotters series, visit www.propelgrowth.com/trendspotters. To find out more about Propel Growth, visit us on the web at www.propelgrowth.com. Copyright 2011 Propel Growth LLC. This recording and its contents are the sole property of Propel Growth and may not be copied or repurposed without our express written consent. Trendspotters is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 license.